Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
All right. Hey, all the men in here, and we understand there's some of you in here that aren't dads yet. But if you're over 18 on the way out, pick up a Tillamook County smoker. I called up the gingers who own it and says, hey, Can you send some up here? So we paid shipping, and they gave us some Tillamook County smoker pepperoni sticks. Any man like pepperoni sticks? I always got tired of that cheesy little crescent wrench that doesn't work that they gave you with a church logo on it for Father's Day. And so I thought, let's give something someone will have for a few minutes, and then they can deposit it elsewhere. And so there's that. Also, men, the dads, there'll be hats out there to make fatherhood great again. Thanks for joining us today, those online. We're in a series called Relationships 101, the refresher course we all need. Next week, we're talking about communication. And I saw this. This lady came in to talk to her counselor. Do you have grounds? And talked about divorce. Do you have grounds? She goes, 3 acres outside of town. You've been there. No. I mean, do you have a grudge? No, I have a carport. No. Does like your husband beat you up? No. He sleeps in. I'm always up before him. Oh my. I'm saying, do you have a case? No. We drive a John Deere. Ma'am, what I'm trying to ask you is are you and your husband having troubles? Oh yes, lots of troubles. Like what? We can't communicate. So next week, we're going to talk about communication and talk about how we can get along. The week after that, we're going to talk about sex. The world's talking about it. And 50 Shades of Grey, we're going to talk about how and what does the black and white and the red, the Word of God, have to say about our relationships and our purity. And then in July after that, we'll start the life of Joseph, and we'll look at a character study. Spend some time in Genesis and look at Joseph and his life from the pit. To the prison, to the palace, to a position of leadership where God let him live his dreams out. Talk about that. But today, we're talking about Father's Day, and I had to Google a few jokes because I'm not the best with Father's Day jokes. Other than my daughter's bought me a card once that says Happy Father's Day, but the words were misspelled, and I won't tell you what it said. But there's some words. Okay, but I got my dad a GPS for Father's Day. Now someone other than my mom can tell him where to go. The message of Mother's Day is mothers are amazingly good at mothering. They deserve a special day. Whereas the message of Father's Day is we're only doing this because you have Mother's Day. Dave Barry, the comedian, says this: I've never been totally sold on the concept of Father's Day. For one thing, it was officially declared a national holiday by Richard Nixon. So it might not even be legal. Now, do any men in here like hats? Do any of you have a sports team you watch? And how many of you put the sports team's hat on to watch a sport and they can't even see you? So we had a sleepover at our house the other day. I had a daughter who turned 13, and so our house was possessed by estrogen until 4 a.m. that night or that morning. And so I was going to watch the World Series baseball yesterday, so I put my Oregon State hat on. I go into my bedroom. I'm sitting on the bed watching my game on the tele, and I'm wearing a hat thinking, they can't see me, but I still wore the hat as if it's good luck or something. How many of you guys have a bad hair day hat? How many of you guys have a hat you put on because you don't want to do your hair? How many of you put a hat on because you don't have no hair? And don't want a sunburn. Or maybe, you know, anyone have a Seahawks hat in the house? Anyone got a Seahawks hat? I have a flat bill Seahawks hat as if I look cool with a flat bill. It doesn't work. Derek Olson, our old youth pastor, bought me a flat. You'll look cool, pastor. I'm thinking I look like a dork. I got a UAF hat. I've got my lawn mowing hat. Anyone have a lawn mowing hat? You just put it on when you go outside and mow your lawn. And how many guys have a hat that's perfect until your wife washes it and it never gets back to the shape it was before? Okay. Today, I want to talk about the hats we as fathers wear. And again, I'm not making a political statement by wearing a red hat that says make fatherhood great again. I'm not saying who I voted for president. I didn't get this hat because of that. I got it because I truly believe that fatherhood is what makes America great. And so today, I want to look at the land of founding fathers, and I want to find fathers and say, hey, let's talk about how to make our homes great. Let's talk about, as men, how do we pastor our home? How do we lead our home? Now, you might say, Mark, I'm single. Take notes, because you might not always be single. These are biblical principles, but I want to look today at the different hats of fatherhood. And before I even start, I just want to pause and say this. The best place to learn how to be a father is to follow the heart of our Father, Father God. When you bow the knee to Him, it changes everything. You have to start with a relationship with God. Now, hats of fatherhood, number one, and it is the student hat. And it's the hat of a student. And I know not every dad in here or every man in here likes being a student, but here's the reality. You can't lead someone else somewhere you haven't first been yourself. And I want to talk about the hat of a student. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is prior to God's people, the Israelites, going to God's land, the promised land. And it's appropriate that you can draw through redemptive history a pattern that the Israelites were God's people. Today, God's people's the church. So we, as a church, but listen, it says these are the commands, the decrees, and the laws the Lord our God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess. Listen to verse 2. I want you to learn these. I want to teach them to you. Put the hat on, the student hat, so that you, your children, and your children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you so you may enjoy life. King James Bible says, hey, Moses told the fathers, learn these things so you, your sons, and your sons' sons. Friends, look at me. We have a chance as a father to anchor our family chain or yank our family chain. He said, hey, there's a promised land, but before you go there, I want you to learn these decrees. If you learn and become a student of what my desires are, you, your sons, and your sons' sons will live long and prosper. How many of you want that type of home? How many of you as dads realize, and maybe you're here and you say, Mark, I had a really messed up childhood. My dad wasn't there. And maybe you're a single gal and you say, my dad was never there. Then it's important you slow down and find the right person to marry who's a godly man, because that man can anchor your family and quit yanking your family. You have a chance. Dads, if we get it right, you know why I'm in church today? Because my dad was in church. And why are my kids in church? Because I'm in church. Now, ultimately, I have to make the decision. But when my mom and dad made a commitment to Jesus back in the 70s, it's still making a difference today. You can anchor your family. And it goes on and says this, verse 3, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, learn, be a student, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your ancestors promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your," to say, hearts. It won't be on your heart unless it gets past your head to your heart. They'll be upon your heart. And then it goes on and says this: impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. He's talking about, friends, look at me. He's talking about his parents. We take the primary role of being the spiritual leader in the home. I love the fact we have a strong kids ministry here, but I'm more convinced you as a parent can do more with your children over 7 days a week and less minus an hour and a half here than we can do in an hour and a half with your children. It says, listen, impress them, talk about them when you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, when you get up. In other words, it should be a part of your home all the time. And then it says this: tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. A couple thoughts as students. Dads, men, church, it doesn't matter what you know if you don't know what matters. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter what we know unless we know what matters. Moses is saying, Israelites, teach these things, learn these things. And then he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." He starts out saying, you need to know, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." It doesn't matter what you know if you don't know what matters. If you're in Valdez and the electrical instruments go out and you have no GPS and you have nothing else, it doesn't matter if you know how to take your motor apart inside and out. It doesn't matter if you know how many bolts are on your boat. It doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know how to get home during the storm? That's what matters. So as a student with a student hat, do you know the most important things? Hear, O Israel. Hear, O church, the Lord our God is one. That means he's one, and that means he's number one. He's one. He's first. The second thought is, it must be in us before it can be in them. It says, they are to be upon your hearts. In other words, we as dads, if we want to make fatherhood great again, we need to make sure it's in us. If it's not in us, we can't ask them to do something we're not doing. It's very hard. I used to have teenagers, parents would come and have a set an appointment up, and I remember this mom was making very poor choices with living with her boyfriend. Her teenage boy had sex with a girl. She makes an appointment, say, "Would you tell my kid this is wrong?" And I said, "Can I have a few words with you first, ma'am?" I said, "I'd like for you to move out of the house with your boyfriend and let him kick him out. And then I'll tell him it's wrong, but only after you tell him you're living wrong." Now, I didn't say that in front of the child, but here's the reality, is you can't tell your children to do something you're not doing. It's important to grow spiritually. Are you growing spiritually? Has to be in you first. And if you want to be a student, what's worth remembering is worth repeating. Repetition is the father of learning. Impress it to them. Talk about it with them when they lie down and when they get up, when they walk along the road, when you drive down the road. Tie it as symbols. Text it to them every day. Bind it on their foreheads, write it down. Let's be students. Let's get into the book of books. And let's learn what God would have us learn as students of the word. That's the best way to make your home great, is for you as a father or a man to become a student again. Let's be students of the book. See, you might say, well, I'm not good at studying stuff. Some of you can name the PGA tournament leaders, and you know them by name. Some of you know the starting lineups of the basketball games when they're there. Some of you know the stats of the Pac-12 or Big 12 or Big 10 or whatever your team is. You don't say you don't know how to study. Some of you know how to take an engine inside and out, and you know what the next upgrade is for the Arctic cat. We know what lures to use when we fish. We can learn the things that are important to us. We can anchor our family, or we can yank our family. The student hat. Let's put the student hat on. The second hat is the hard hat, the contractor's hat. Anyone ever wore a contractor's hat? How many of you guys want to know building a home is a difficult thing to do? And I'm not talking about the house. I'm talking about building a home. I love what Matthew said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. It fell with a crash. Friends, here's the reality. We've got to build our house upon the rock, because there will be wind, there will be rain, there will be streams that rise, there will be, but those who build their lives upon the rock, that house will always what? Stand. And I don't know about you, when you look at the culture around us, you can get scared to raise children, or you can realize, wait a second here, God's people have always thrived in cultures that are difficult for their faith. The challenge is where you build your house. That's what matters. The contractor hat says, I'm going to build my house. It's under construction. Are you building a strong marriage? I'm convinced storms under the roof won't break a marriage if the marriage is built on a rock. You can have storms outside and inside, and it lasts if your house is built upon the rock. Are you building strong kids? Are you building your life around the church? Are you building your life around the Word of God? See, be careful what you build, friends. We're building something by design or by default. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or stubble, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed by fire. In other words, let's build it right, friends. Let's put on the hard hat. And how many of you know it's hard work to build a strong marriage? It's hard work to build a strong family. It's hard work to make America, our homes, great again. It's hard work. It doesn't just happen. It happens because you plan it and you work hard. If you're building your life around the rock, then build your life around things that will deposit the Word of God in your sons' and your daughters' lives. If you're busy building the kingdom, they'll understand that's what life's about. If you're busy building your kingdom, they'll think that's what life's all about. If spiritual growth is important for us, it will be important for them. If it's important for you, it'll be important for them. Hats of fatherhood. The student hat, we're learners. The hard hat, because we're hard workers. The third hat, the coach's hat. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train. Say train. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, does this mean every child will serve God if you raise them in the church? No, it doesn't mean that. But there's something called training, the coach's hat, that says, how many of you guys have ever had a great coach? How many of you guys have ever had a coach that wasn't so great? Raise your hand real high. Okay, boy, some hands went up real quick with that one. So you know the difference between a great coach and not a great coach. But a good coach is someone who raises the character of the boys or girls they work with or the team, the men or women. They care about the character stuff. They care about doing things not just the right way, but with the right motives and the right heart. And so as a coach, to train our children, let's have a game plan, but let's make sure the game plan involves the book that has all the game rules in it. The Word of God, the foundation. A good coach talks about the game plan. A good coach talks about discipline. How many of you know it's hard to discipline your kids sometimes? Discipline's important. We have to motivate. I have something in this wife's home that we do. When our daughters turned 13, and I have four daughters, I've now done it with three of them. But the other night, I took my 13-year-old Macy, my new 13-year-old Macy, out to the pump house, and she got macaroni and cheese, and I got a steak. And it's the only time she's been there, and she had dessert too. She's like, "We can get dessert too." It's like, "Yeah, but not every time you come, honey." And I sat there and I said, "Honey, this is an important day. I want to train you here." And one of the things I've said to all my daughters is, "Honey, girls," I said, "sweetheart, you're a very beautiful girl." And I said, "And guys aren't always going to see the same beauty I see in you. They might see you for something other than that." And I said in Proverbs, it says, "Beauty, charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised." And so, honey, I said, "In a moment, I'm going to give you a ring, and that ring is a commitment that I'll take off your finger when I walk you down the aisle someday." Oh, I don't want to talk about this. Never mind. No. "When you walk down the aisle, honey, I'll take that ring off, because that ring will be traded by someone else's ring." I said, "Honey, this is a ring of purity. You'll always be pure. But honey, a commitment I'm going to make, above all else, guard your heart. As a dad, part of my job as a coach is to train you and mentor you and love you." I said, "But honey, here's the deal." I said, "If beauty is here one day and gone the next, and charm is deceitful, then you have to understand." And I said this to her. I said, "If you spend an hour in the mirror getting ready in the morning, spend an hour with the Word of God, which is a mirror, to get ready in the morning." I said, "Honey, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside, the heart." And I coached and I trained. And then I said this, "Honey," I said, "Mommy and Daddy love you more than anybody in the world." I said, "You have to trust us. There might be a boyfriend someday that we don't like. And you have to understand, if we say, 'Honey, we're not sure if he's the right one,' or 'We're not sure if we like the guy.' And I don't know if I like any guy." If I'm vulnerable, right? That's not true, actually. I said, "We may have to say, 'I'm not sure, but I'd like you to bench that guy, because I don't think he can run on the same court as you.'" As parents, have you thought through the game plan? Do you have the discipline for boundaries and motivate to encourage? And so as parents, we have to take time sometimes to realize we coach. Sometimes we have to encourage our kids. Sometimes we have to say, "Cowboy up. Get your chin off your chest. Your pouty attitude stinks, and I would have fired you too." Sometimes we listen to our kids and believe everything they say without asking the other person a part of the conversation if everything our kid tells us is true. Part of a coach is to say, "You know, honey, I heard you out, but let's talk to the other side here, because there's always two sides to a story." How many of you guys have ever taken your kid's side always first without listening to the other side? And I would just pause and say, maybe you want to listen to everyone too, because sometimes our kids aren't always giving us the whole picture. Don't shout me down right now, church. Woo! Someone's like, "Oh my." I'm just saying, a half truth. It's a whole lie. Coaches, we have to listen, we have to encourage, we have to help motivate. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we bench them and say, you know, that attitude's wrong. I hung out with a father that has a son involved with some athletics, and the kid, this was a while ago, the kid had an attitude, and the father said, give me your phone, and I want to see an attitude change when you're out there on the court, because if it doesn't change, you're not getting your phone back. And I thought, wow, most parents wouldn't take that hard stand. But attitude is more important than anything, is it not? All right, so we have to have the student hat. Learners are leaders, and leaders are learners. The hard hat, let's build on the right foundation. The coach's hat, let's train up our children. The next hat's the fedora hat. I ordered all these hats on Amazon, but they didn't get here in time. I got the fedora. I'll put that on this week. The fedora hat is the hat of romance. Now, some of you are single, but here's the reality. The principles are across the board. As a husband, man, look at me. As a husband, the only way your kids will learn how to treat your wife or how they should treat their wives someday or their husbands is how you teach them to do it in the home. And my wife and I, we have date nights, and sometimes the kids go, you're going on another date? And I'm thinking, yeah, because when you move out, I still want to love the woman that's still in this house. When I'm old, sipping lemonade through dentures, I want to love the woman with dentures next to me. I do say this, be nice to your kids because they'll pick out your home someday. But the romance hat, date with consistency. Have a couple overnight trips a couple times a year. And it doesn't have to be a lot of money or expensive, but get away, because kids keep intimacy at a distance. Okay. Show your kids what romance. My daughter's like, oh, I don't like it when you kiss mom in front of us. I'm going, oh, that just eggs me on to kiss her more, right? But I want my daughters, I have four daughters, how else will they know how they should be treated if they don't see me treat their mama that way? Men, put the fedora hat on. Oh, you know, wise dads teach manners. Why? Because in our culture, the mood is rude, but you have to teach manners. Teach them to put their napkin on their lap. Teach them to look people in the eyes when they talk. Teach them to open doors for the ladies around them. Teach them. And we as dads, if we want to make fatherhood great again, we have got to set the temperature of romance and rudeness. We got to minimize that and show our children how to act full of manners. I love what Titus says in the book of Titus. Timothy wrote to Titus, similarly, encourage the young man to be self-controlled. In everything, set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity and seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say. We can raise our children to say please and thank you and chew with their mouth closed. I'm not sure if that's like just doesn't happen anymore, but there are some. Some of you should tell your kids, sorry for not teaching you not to smack your lips. Okay, I'll get back to the Bible here. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Has anyone ever been with someone like, did you know that gum, you shouldn't be able to see it when you're chewing it? Did you know that that's just really rude? Okay, that's venting right there. That's not the Bible. I'll get back here. See, we teach our kids how to hunt. We teach our kids how to fish. We teach them how to change oil. Let's teach them how to be kind and how to have manners and how to respect their elders and how to treat people right. Let's put the student hat on. Let's be learners. Let's put the hard hat. Let's be workers. Let's put the coach's hat. Let's train and motivate. Let's put the fedora on, the hat of romance and manners. And lastly, the headdress. Now, I want to be careful because in our culture, people say, oh, great. He's just like saying man or number one. But man, you're the chief of your home. God set it up that way. You might say, well, are you saying he's superior? No. equal in form, unique in function. Equal in form, unique in function. Men don't have babies. They can't do everything women do. There's certain things God calls men to do. And I want to look at Ephesians. It says submit. Say submit. And don't go, oh great, he's getting to that word submit. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he's the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Men have a little harder deal here. They're supposed to love you like Christ loved the church, which means they lay their lives down for you. Now, here's the principle. Dads, men, we must get under what God has put over us. God has said, submit and love me and love your wives like I love the church. You come under that authority so we can get over what God's put under us. What does that mean? Friends, you have to lead your home. And men, when you don't lead your home, I'll tell you what happens. The moment you take the chief hat on, you know what, hat off, you know what happens? Your kids will pick it up. And when the kid picks it up, I'll tell you what happens. No longer is it the mom and the dad, or excuse me, the dad and the mom who lead the home. It's the kid who leads the home. It's sports. It's school. It's attitude. So all that, friends, as a father, put on the chief hat and lead. Because women are tired of putting the chief hat on when you sit back and don't lead. Over 20 years of ministry, the number of times that wives have said, I just wish my husband would lead. They'll follow. Now, how can we do this? How do we put on the many hats and how do we wear them all? I want to give you a simple little something that I think gives you handlebars to how do you drive down the road of life with these hats. Is number one, daily spend time with God. Daily spend some time. Time in prayer, time reading. It could be on the, nowadays you can probably get an app that actually reads to you when you're driving down the road if you have to. Daily spend time with God. Weekly, listen to a leadership podcast on our fatherhood. There's some great podcasts and great blogs out there for dads. So number one, daily spend time with God. Weekly, listen to something. Monthly, read a book or listen to a book. Here's the deal. If you don't have a plan for growth, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. When I graduated from Bible college, John Maxwell gave every graduating senior a growth tape that year as a graduation present. I listened to it and said, do you have a plan for growth? And I said, no, I guess I don't. I just finished Bible college. I don't have a plan. He says, and I have one to sell you. And he sold it for $800. His first 100 lessons on leadership and cassette tape, 12 books, an hour with God a day. And he said, spend an hour with God a day, listen to 2 tapes a week, and read a book a month. And I bought the plan. And I listened to all the tapes and read all the books. But why? I still read a parenting book every year. I read a book on marriage every year. I read a book every year on creativity because I want to be a creative person. If you have a plan for growth, do you daily spend time with God? Weekly, listen to some growth and leadership find a great message out there. Grow spiritually. Find some leadership. Monthly, read a book or listen to a book. Quarterly, connect with a life group. Dads, I'm convinced if you daily spend time with God, weekly grow, monthly read, and quarterly get involved in community, you'll probably find yourself growing as a dad or growing as a father. But I'll tell you right now, if you're not involved in the daily, the weekly, the monthly, and the quarterly, let me ask you something as a coach or as a pastor today. How are you growing? Because you daily grow or you gradually die. And standing water catches dirt. That's why it's called a mud puddle. Flowing water doesn't. But if you're not purposely growing, you daily grow or you gradually die. These commandments, these decrees, the Lord God directed me to teach you to choose, to observe, so the land you're crossing the Jordan possess, so you, your children, and your children's children may fear God. Friends, we can make fatherhood great again. Any dads in here realize we can do this thing? I think we can all daily grow. We can weekly grow. We can monthly add to our parenting skills, our dad skills, our leader skills. We can get involved in a spiritual. How many guys believe we can build our house on the rock? How many guys believe that? How many guys want to? I don't know about you. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? But more than that, what happens if you do it all right and gain all the stuff in the world and your family isn't where you want them to be? Now, as we close today, maybe you're here, you feel like, man, Mark, I feel like I don't get A's in everything. None of us get A's in everything. It's not that we're perfect. It's just that we keep getting back up and going, let's go after this thing. But here's the deal. Maybe you're here today and you're not in right relationship with Jesus. I want to pray with you. You're here today. You walked in. Maybe it's Father's Day. You came with your family, your dad, but you're not in right relationship with Jesus. Before you leave, I want to help you. The Bible says we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The best way we could be good dads is to bow our knees to God and say, God, I want to have a relationship with my Almighty Father. And through that, I want to live for you. And I want to raise and impart what's in me through you to the people around me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this place this morning, please? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not in right relationship with Jesus. You came here, you've not made a commitment to Christ. Maybe you've backslidden, but you're here to say, Pastor, today I want to make a decision to serve Jesus with everything that's inside of me. I'm going to ask you in a moment, just lift your hand when I count to three. I want to pray with you. You're here, you're not in right relationship with Jesus, but today you want to make a commitment to Him, or maybe you've never made a commitment to Him, and today you want to start. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. Lift your hand up. One, two. If you're a follower of Christ already, would you begin to pray? Someone's life might be in balance. You're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not in right relationship with Jesus, but today I want to start that journey. When I say three, would you lift your hand? Three. Anyone here, just wave at me and say, Mark, that's me this morning. Thank you, sir. Anybody else, wave your hand at me and say, Pastor, that's me today. That's me today. That's me today. That's me. Would you stand with me all across this place this morning? If you slipped your hand up, I want to pray with you right now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Just repeat this prayer with me, whether you raise your hand or not. Dear Jesus, today I want to be your Savior. I want to meet my Savior. Please forgive me, God, for my sins. Lord, help me serve you the rest of my life. Lord, I've sinned, and I believe you died on the cross. So thank you for your death. Thank you for forgiving me. Now, Lord, help me live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing this song as we close. And as we sing this song, if you raised your hand to say, I want to make Christ Lord of my life, would you simply text us your name? And there's going to be a phone number that comes up on the screen. Just text us your name. And what we'll do in the next 5 days, we're going to send you back a short video that talks about a brand new you. Simple way. But listen, we want to follow up with you. We want to help you. So do text us your name, and we're going to let you know when our next growth track starts, our next new class for people new to the church and new to Christ. We want to help you serve Jesus. The next time we have water baptism, get water baptized. Let's sing this song as we close today. God, I'm so thankful that you're a good, good Father. And you're perfect in all of your ways. Help us put on the fatherhood hats, Lord. Help us to learn. Help us to work hard to build a home that's solid and built around you. Help us be coaches at our home. Help us to romance our brides. And help us to lead. I thank you for that, God. God, for those in here that struggle because home growing up was difficult, I pray they'd find the healing and forgiveness all you can bring. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, friends, as you leave today, make sure you pick up a hat. If you like men, make fatherhood great. Josh Ward into our kids pastor wrote REI the other day, and the owner goes, I'm liberal, and I saw that hat, and I thought, okay, I can't agree with that. I got closer, and I said, okay, I can agree with that. We need fatherhood great. God bless you. See you next week. Have a great week.